Our subject of study this morning is going to be the shadow of death. More and more, the culture in which we live seems to be plagued with untimely death. It's in the news, we see it daily, with shootings of innocent people all over the country for apparent no reason at all. So today I want to take a closer look at the term the shadow of death in which we walk and live today. The shadow of death, of course, is basically it's a figure of speech. But death is certainly a part of life and the sorrows faced during the death of a loved one. In our study, I think you will find that the term has much to do with suffering as it does have to do with death itself. And Christ himself was made a little lower than the angels, like we are, as a matter of fact, for the purpose of enduring these sorrows and tragedies of life that come about as a result of where we live and where we find ourselves. Therefore, the purpose for him as well as us then is to learn what? Obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to God's purpose for the future, when in fact there will be no death and everyone is dwelling in righteousness. No more insurrection in the ranks of the angels, no more sin and sorrow in our lives. And there we have, of course, the comfort of knowing and to understand that the struggles are one day to be gone from us. Now, I hesitate to draw or call attention to the 23rd Psalm because it is such a part of Jewish history, of the Old Testament, and the kingdom itself, for fear of making the wrong impression. Because as you well know, the Jewish nation is referred to as sheep under the care of the shepherd, and that technically leaves us aside. You are all aware of the verses that tell us this. My sheep have gone astray, the lost sheep of Israel, the nation of sheep. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, etc., etc. All through the Old Testament, we find this reference to the nation of Israel being referred to as sheep. To the contrary, the church of the one body is referred to never as sheep, referred to as prophets, evangelists, teachers, children, apostles, ambassadors for the cause of Christ, never sheep. There's no sheep here, technically. And then after, of course, the end of Acts and the crucifixion of Christ, Christ is referred to as the head of the church. Not once as a shepherd, only as the head. However, even in that circumstance, the term our Lord is a title, and it is a title that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Lord, we have the same Lord as the nation of Israel. Psalms 23, this is a chapter, is great learning tool, actually. It contains doctrinal truth, and we know what doctrinal truth is. And it's that which transcends, unlike dispensational truth pertaining to only one certain time. Doctrinal truth covers all times, but dispensational truth only a certain period of time. So, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 23. Psalms chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Note here that the believer's path is mingled with various experiences of life. Here, some described as green pastures, still waters. Everything is lovely. Everything is good. Some, as treading in a valley of waterless desert, a valley of the shadow of death. Verse 4, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shadow of death here is not death itself. It could be. But if you look at it in the Hebrew, it also leans towards trouble. And it's described in Scripture elsewhere, in other words, as darkness, wilderness, affliction, bondage, drought, disaster, sorrow, places of dragons, where there is no light, darkness, evil, even the term the taste of death. And you got to realize that this is not into death, but through and out of it. And actually, it's a symbol of resurrection itself, into the place of darkness, the grave, and out of that. To the Christian, this only becomes a shadow of death. We read about these places in Scripture in Isaiah and Hosea, the Valley of Achor, or that word Achor is also translated trouble, the Valley of Trouble. But the evidence here is not death, but trouble, because of the reference to the rod and the staff. A rod and a staff are only good if you're alive, not dead. You can only fear evil if you're alive. We all face these things in our life. But David makes one thing certain here. What might that be? The presence of the Lord. The term, thou art with me. You've got to be alive to realize that someone is with you. You've got to be alive to have fear. And his presence, of course, is not limited to experiencing just joy. It is he that provides the still waters in time of trouble. It is he that leadeth me in trouble, if I allow it. It is he that restoreth my soul. It is he that gives me righteousness. It is he that accompanies me in times of trouble. It is he that erases the fear and the sting of death, or its shadow and the taste of that awful thing that comes to us sometimes through other members of the family. It is He that makes my love abound. Look at the latter part then of verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod, the staff, has both a good and a bad symbol. It has a plus and a minus to it. Sometimes they are one and the same. It's a great tool, as a matter of fact, for the shepherd. And if you remember last week, I think it was in our lesson last week or maybe the week before, where we saw that when you have the staff in Scripture and it's singular, do you remember what it was? It's something that you lean on or you walk with. And when you put the plural to staff, it becomes a club. So the staff has multiple purpose. I've got a prop that I want to bring and show you. I think maybe I've brought it before. But it is, in fact, a shepherd's staff. This is a very useful tool for the shepherd. It's known around the world, as a matter of fact, the shape of this thing. And the shepherd used it, you know, there for a lot of different things. There in the mountains, at cold at night, it was used as a poker, poke fire, keep the fire going, keep warm. It's a club, ward off the wolves, you know, made a good thing to hit with if the wolves come around. It's a tool for that purpose. It has this crook in here. You wonder, what has that crook got to do with it? Well, have you ever seen a young lamb caught in the briars or maybe down over the hillside? The shepherd could take that. By the way, I learned this from a shepherd. I know a shepherd that lived in Italy. And that is used to reach down into the briars. The briars get all on the wool of the little lamb, and he can reach that and he can pull that out from down over the hill or out of a briar bush and not get in the briars himself. And another thing that I learned that's kind of strange, and some of you have heard this before, but what is this? Is that just decorative? I've joked. I said, does the shepherd hang his skivvies on that when he's taking a bath or what? And I learned that from the shepherd that I know that was a true shepherd in the mountains, that sometimes there's a little lamb that wants to run away all the time. And he won't stay with the flock. And this is kind of brutal. But the shepherd will take the little lamb and he'll put his leg in there and he'll bend it backwards and break it. And then he will carry the little lamb because he's got a broken leg. Everywhere the shepherd goes, he carries the little lamb. And eventually, that lamb becomes so connected to the shepherd, he won't run away. He put him down. He'll hobble around on three legs, but he'll never leave the shepherd. So it's kind of, like I say, it's a little bit brutal, but that's what this hook is for. I thought it was just decorative. But that's what the hook is used for. In the darkest part of our life, the Lord stands with us, armed against our spiritual foes, Satan, and he holds this trustworthy staff. So the question then might become, well, what is our staff today? Well, our staff today is found in Ephesians 6, the armor, upon which we may be confident. and that we can lean on. The staff from the Hebrew word means actually to lean. And of course, the plural then was that it's a club. Reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So, now for the big question. A really big question. Why should there be valleys? Why do these valleys of the shadow of death come at all? Why would a creator allow? Why should sheep be found in such dreadful places? Well, in the field, the shepherd continues, of course, to take the sheep in different places because of needing new pasture, new food, etc. The shepherd has a real reason for taking the sheep into these some of these treacherous places. And our Lord also, you've got to remember, God is not only righteous, but love. He is not only creator, but redeemer. He is not only Lord, but he is also Father. And would never let his children pass through any such experience without reason. What is the reason? Why do we find these shadows of death? Well, this is a whole other subject of which we could study, but if you want to know my personal views, I'll tell you right now. The obvious and the easy thing is evil, but you know, why would the Lord allow evil on his sheep? Life, I believe, is an object lesson. Once learned, having lived in this shadow of death for our entire lives, we will never want to leave our new existence like the angels who looked upon other things and left their natural estate for something that ends in death. There's a reason behind this shadow of death. The earth was not this way in the beginning. God created it, and it says he creates perfect. Sin was not here. It's only when the angels, the insurrection of the angels came and ruined God's perfect creation that death comes into being. And our life is an object lesson to where we would never, once we pass from this into our new existence, the new man, we would never, ever want to go back. Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered, Hebrews tells us. We learn obedience by the things that we suffer and the things that we see. Turn in your Bibles to Corinthians chapter 2. Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me, I'm telling you wrong. 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, not 2nd. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll get it right here in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we have Paul's answer to a prayer to the Lord for a malady, a thorn in the flesh that he had. And Paul said there in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strange kind of verse. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul again speaking in chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He's saying, don't worry about all the stuff I've gone through. It's de nada. It's nothing. Well, do we glory in trouble? Do we want more? Say, bring it on. No. Is this some sadistic desire? No. It's not, Paul's not saying, he's not saying, I'm so glad that I am hurting. What we find is that the word glory, the root word of glory, means also contentment. Because, yea, though I walk through the valley, thou art with me. And it's appropriate, I don't care what time, when you lived, our Lord is with us in these times of trouble. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We glory, we are content in tribulation. Why? Hope. Hope in the English language has become something that is wished for. But in Scripture, the meaning is different. In the New Testament, hope was something assured. It's not, I hope so. It's a guarantee, not just a possibility, but something that you can bet your last dollar on. The hope that we have for the future, the contentment, the glory that we have in times of trouble, as we walk in the shadow of death. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The shadow of death. It's an object lesson whereby we can understand more readily the purposes of God for the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love towards us. We're thankful for the contentment. We're thankful for the hope that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus, and the salvation thereby. I pray that you would continue to give us that hope, give us the assurance, give us the confidence the peace of mind as we walk through these shadows of death. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.